Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
FM 104 Sunday Night Live with Louise Ty.
FM 104 is Sunday Night Live, and every week we join an artist and ask them about the very first gig they ever went to. And this week it's Pashi. Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very good. So what was the first gig you ever attended?
My first gig was, it was Metallica
up
in Dublin. This is a long time ago, and the Lost Prophets were supporting them, and I was only a teenager and I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
That is very cool though.
Yeah, I dyed my hair red, me and my friend did, and we went up on the train. This thing was my first time on a train as well.
Wow.
It was happy times.
What was it about that gig that has kind of stuck with you to this day?
Well, to be honest, it was more like back then, like, we took so much pride in having physical albums.
Yeah.
So, like, me and all my friends were obsessed with Metallica. So we all had, like, all of their albums, the physical versions. And so we knew every song, like, off by heart. So, like, we were up at the front moshing. So it was the first time I woke up the morning after and my neck was broken from moshing.
Bit of whiplash.
I'm a skinny dude, like, and I was up at the front moshing. So my life was in absolute danger. It was some crack. I'll never forget it.
Wow. So at that point, had you already been playing music yourself?
Oh, Christ, no, not at all. But that Metallica were one of the bands that inspired me to pick up a guitar.
Wow.
Because I picked up a guitar before, but I just put it down again. But yeah. The thing about rock and metal music is that once you learn how to do a bar chord on the guitar, you can almost do anything. So they kind of encouraged me back into guitar playing. So.
Wow. Can you play anything by Metallica?
Oh, well, I can now, but I was terrible back then.
Wow, I love this. So then I suppose
I'm at home jamming, like, I'm just playing Metallica covers. So, yeah.
Wow. Are there any of those up online?
Oh, Christ, no.
No, okay.
No,
and you're not going to ever break that out on stage at any point.
You never know. Like, there's some gorgeous tunes. Like, when you take away all the metalness, like, yeah, there's actually some lovely, lovely lyrics in there. You never know.
Wow. So then I suppose when you started gigging, what was the first gig you did yourself?
First gig I ever did. I had a band when I was like 13 or 14.
Mm-hmm.
And we played a fashion show. So you do a 4-tier fashion show. And we were playing at like the halftime show. So it was such a big deal because everybody we knew was watching.
Mm-hmm.
And we played three covers and like three of our own tunes. It was like Blink 182 songs and a few more silly kind of punk rock tunes.
Yeah.
That was our first one in the corner of the big hall in the school. And everybody thought we were rock stars for a night. It was amazing.
Of course you were. That's deadly though. And then obviously it spurred you on to want to get into professionally.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, once you kind of start, you never know the point where it's like, oh, now I'm a professional. You kind of just stumble into it.
You just kind of keep grafting away.
And then eventually it's like, so what's it like to be a professional musician? I'm like, sorry, what? A professional musician? because I don't feel like a professional musician in terms, because I don't have any theory. I just kind of like, I love writing songs and I love playing cover. I love learning new songs, but when people say professional musician to me, I still feel like that's a bit of a push. But obviously, what I do is what I do. But that's something I need to deal with, I guess.
I find that so interesting though, because you've had so much success, like on your own, but also as a band. Like, it surprises me that you haven't kind of reached the point yet where you're like, I'm a professional now. This is what I do for my living.
I know, yeah. I suppose I look at professional musicians and I think of like reading theory really well and like orchestras being able to conduct and all that. Like that to me is like, well, then there's like obviously set like musicians that can like run up and down a fretboard flawlessly. Where I'm more of like, I can sing well and I can write songs, but there's no huge technical ability to it. It's just kind of a thing that I do. I suppose I look at other people and think that they're like, I feel like I'm an absolute chancer.
I find that so interesting. But obviously you start off going to Metallica. So when you do your own gigs now, does any bits of that kind of spring up occasionally, or anything that springs to mind that you've kept?
I suppose the energy that they bring to their shows is something I'm mindful of, because I'm mindful that some of my tunes can be quite mellow and kind of chilled out, so I'm mindful that in my set it needs to pack a punch. So I've always kind of been mindful of that and keeping the energy flowing, so maybe that's the thing I kind of took with me,
the element. And then obviously you are playing the Academy on the 18th of October.
Yes, I can't wait for that show. I really feel like the set is really coming together. I did a tour last year where it was the first time I kind of brought these new songs to a stage, and a lot of these songs weren't really built up ready. There was a lot of acoustic guitar songs, just acoustic guitar and a vocal, and now songs have been kind of through the mill and they're ready to be kind of, they've got an energy about them and more of a sureness about them. I'm really looking forward to the Academy.
Yeah, your gig was my first gig back after all the madness. My very first one.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
It was so nice to be back. And Whelan's is a lovely place to kind of come back and do it all again. I really, really enjoyed that show.
And you also have a brand new single out with Sinead White, Surrender.
Yes. I wrote Surrender in the middle of lockdown with a couple of friends. And it was a song I wanted to release because I usually tend to release like a radio hit or a banger, you know, something with a pulse, something that will kind of engage with people on the radio. But this song was so much more the other way, that I just had such a tenderness about it that I really wanted to show this side of what I'm doing now.
And to get
Sinead on board was such a treat. And her vocal in the chorus just brings the whole thing to life. And she's an absolute gem.
Do you find it hard to find a middle ground between what is considered a radio hit and kind of what you enjoy doing?
I do. Yeah, I absolutely do. I absolutely do. There's I've a batch of tunes now that I adore. And it's almost like there's five or six songs that I feel like really fit together on a piece of work, and then I have like these two radio hits on the other side, and it's like, which one do I go with? And my heart always says the one I love the most, and that's always the more tender song, and the more one has a bit more meaning behind it. But it won't necessarily garner a huge amount of radio attention, which kind of ultimately kind of perceives it as a failure of a record. But to me, I don't know, I feel like what I'm doing now, I feel like there's longevity in what I'm trying to do. So I'm edging towards a more chilled out, more folky, but ultimately just something I love doing, you know?
To enjoy it, really.
Yeah, that's kind of the bottom line. And I suppose like any other artist, you kind of have to be obsessed with what you're doing to kind of keep going, because, any musician will tell you, it's a slog. It's an absolute slog. We're all tapped in the brain to keep going.
But you enjoy it so much. Like, why would you give it up?
Well, that's the thing. There's obviously little things in between all the beautiful things that kind of make it tough. But like once you get on stage and you've got a song that people adore, well, then that's the payoff. You know what I mean? So that's why touring is so, so important to us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the Academy is something I can't wait for.
And there's still a couple of tickets left for it if anyone wants to head along.
There is. Yeah, there's a couple of tickets left. So so yeah, it's gonna be incredible.
It's gonna be good. Pa, thank you so much for taking the time out to chat to us.
Louise, you're such a star. Thanks a million.
Talk to you soon.
Long.
FM 104 Sunday Night Live with Louise Ty.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.